Vietnamese-American Julian Saparidi is not only a serious historian, he's also a musician. He's trying to use his new album to get you thinking about this country's complicated past. His musical project No No Boy tells stories rooted in his own family history. Here's the song, Saint-Denis.
A soft language barrier, a child of an immigrant. Before the banh mi trucks were cool, table embarrassment.
No No Boy's new album is called 1975, and Julian Saparidi joins us now. Welcome.
It's great to be here and have a chance to talk. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Tell me more about your family.
Yeah, well, it's an all-over-the-world kind of family. On my mom's side, we come from Vietnam, and specifically she was raised in South Vietnam before the country reunified in 75, and most of my family went to France. She got scattered to the United States along with a couple other family members and wound up in Tennessee because my dad, who's from Boston originally, comes from Italian heritage, is a music business guy, and wound up in Nashville. So that's how I, as a Italian-American, Vietnamese-American kid, grew up with a very interesting existence in country music USA.
My home, I wish I had taken French a little more seriously. I remember singing to you when you were dying in Saint-Denis.
Well, let's talk about No No Boy. This is the name of your musical project. It is a phrase that has roots in the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. Can you explain a little bit more and why that resonated with you?
So one of the great Asian American novels that was overlooked forever is called No No Boy by John Okada. And it got at this character who was one of these historical no-no boys who refused to swear allegiance to the United States and to serve in the army while his family was incarcerated in these American concentration camps. And there was this torn-intuitedness of this character when he returned home from federal prison. I just had never read anything that was Asian American that got at this torn-intuitedness, which I think a lot of people who are immigrants or children of immigrants can feel, both in your own quote-unquote community of your nationality or your race, but also within broader American society. So like for me growing up in Tennessee, that torn-intuitedness was really, I don't know, what I keep coming back to is describing how I grew up. And at the same time, you know, the title of the project's just a trick to get people to Google No No Boy and then read a good book. So it's Trojan horse, so to speak.
Yeah. You actually use that phrase Trojan horse a lot. In fact, I think the lyrics in many of these songs you describe as a Trojan horse to get people to talk about something else or to learn about something else. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was kind of looking around the academic landscape and thought, what are different ways to get this really important history? The idea that in 1882, all Chinese people were excluded by government law from the United States up to the Vietnam War, the Cambodian genocide. How can I bring these really heavy and now very politically fraught subjects to the people that raised me? You know, there's the conservative folks in the middle of the country, and not come at it with argument, but rather, hey, this stuff happened. Some of this stuff happened in my own family. Let me just tell you what I've seen, what I've witnessed, what my family's experienced, what I've studied, and maybe we can talk about it. By using music instead of argument, I think you can get more people to the table. And also get people maybe more emotionally invested. If they dig the music, the lyrics can kind of then weave their way in.
Yeah. Well, to that point, let's listen to a song on the new album that directly talks about the internment camps that you were discussing. This is called The Best Damn Band in Wyoming, and that's lightly edited for the radio there. Let's listen.
Georgie Gawa, Oji Nisei, he tore up the coast and even played Japan. Before the war, they ripped up the Florida ballroom and don't sleep on the Shotokians.
George Igawa and his band, the George Igawa Orchestra, they actually were a real jazz band. Tell me about them, and is that like an example of the Trojan horse you're talking about?
The George Igawa Orchestra was this jazz band that formed in a World War II concentration camp in Wyoming, in this state where I lived for a good portion of my adult life. And when I found a picture of them in the archives, I was just blown away because they had instruments. This is coming from a kid who went to music college and literally studied jazz history and never heard about any Asians playing jazz or Asian Americans, let alone an entire 16-piece big band that formed in a concentration camp and then was let out from behind the barbed wire only to play concerts and then rounded up and put back in after every show. And for me, yeah, the Trojan Horse thing, we can go there with that because that's a huge, heavy history. 10 concentration camps, barbed wire, guard towers. But if we go in and we find commonality, which for me, you know, George Egawa, like, that's an Asian American musician who lived in Wyoming. That's a lineage.
Yeah, look, I want to ask you about something else. The sound is very important for you in this album. I understand that you traveled a lot to create field recordings, which you then incorporated into the music. Why was that something that was important to you?
Yeah, so I mean, I have a love of field recording. I'd always have my little Zoom recorder and just be picking up the sound of a barrack or down at the detention centers at the U.S.-Mexico border where I've worked a lot in the last couple of years, the sound of the barbed wire, the sound of like wood planks at the Angel Island immigration station outside San Francisco. And these became samples that I turned into basically drum kits, which every song you hear on the album, there's no actual studio percussion except for a couple tambourines. And the rest is just these samples that have been mutated and shifted around to become the rhythm that I actually perform the songs over. And that's really important to me because it's the sound of the past. It's the sound of history. We're often, when we look back at history, we kind of put it on mute. I want to know what the sound of the environment was.
Well, it sounds good. I mean, at one point, you actually are banging on an empty tank, a really big empty tank. And then you take that sound and it becomes a part of one of your songs.
Yeah, that's you're referring to this big tank by the old pool at the Crystal City concentration camp, which housed German, Italian, and Japanese. And now all that's really left is this basin of an old pool, and there's a big tank, and it makes the most amazing reverb. And that's right in the middle of my song called Sand Creek that's on the album.
Open up your eyes, pen to paper, take a trip, my love, let me know what you find. Open up your eyes, open up your eyes.
You mentioned going down to the U.S.-Mexico border. Let's listen to a song about that. This is Close Your Eyes and Dream of Flowers.
Imagine taking a tanker ship, then walking all of Mexico. I know some people who the blues won't quit. Imagine no end to a road.
Make the connection between what you saw at the southern border with this conversation we've been having about being an Asian immigrant in this country.
It's more of that connection of refugees. So the stories my mom told me about coming over, or that other Vietnamese Americans have told me about coming over to the U.S. or France or wherever, escaping re-education camps or war, having to survive these horrifying journeys. There's echoes in the stories I hear and the things I witnessed down in Matamoros at the refugee camp in Mexico, or in Brownsville, or in Laredo, or Nuevo Laredo. And while we have to use historical specificity when we talk about all these places, it'd be good to kind of find that common ground. Going back and finding that place of empathy in your own story might make you a little bit more empathetic to what's happening down in Texas right now.
Well, exactly. And I'm listening to you talk about your experience at the border and this conversation we've been having about discrimination against Asian Americans. And I'm kind of overwhelmed, really, by how relevant it is right now with the crisis at the border and with the shootings in the Atlanta area. I mean, you never could have known this album would come out at such a moment. But what does it say to you that it did?
You got to understand that Atlanta is not new. Atlanta is just the latest skip on a broken record of Asian American massacres in this country. Going back to Rock Springs, Wyoming, 1885, one of the worst mass lynchings that ever happened was in LA to Chinese folks back in the late 1800s. The idea that there's a rise in anti-Asian sentiment is questionable. It's more that there's an awareness now, which I'm very grateful for. And so I hope this album and these stories might help people contextualize Atlanta and contextualize the border within a larger American history. But to answer your question, it's like I'd really rather not promote anything that has anything to do with the subject matter right now because it just feels weird and icky. But, you know, I appreciate the time, and I hope someone reads an article instead of just, you know, hashtagging because of this conversation we're having.
Historian and musician Julian Saporiti, also known as Nono Boy. The new album is 1975. Julian, thank you very much for having this conversation with us. I do appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much. I really appreciate you all, and stay safe and drink water while we're going through this.
Good advice.
Twice seven with two civil wars. A fool to think that this place could ever be yours. The in-between, that's where we must explore. Tell Hanoi I love her. Jamie's mother in the nail salon. Bedazzled star spangled t-shirt, tiger mom. Saw the flag on my hat, told me to take it off.